Would you pray with me once again? Our loving Father in heaven, we are so thankful unto Thee for the love and the mercy and grace that You've shown in our lives. We ask, Father, that You continue to bless us according to Thy righteous will. Father, we know that Thou art an all-wise God and that You are a loving God, and we know that whatever You allow to come into our lives are the things that are good and beneficial for us. So, Father, we just pray that You'd supply and help us always to be thankful for the love and mercy that we feel. We pray just now, Father, again, that You'd bless all those who have needs, but bless us as we would study Thy Word and open the Scriptures to us that we might see Thy will for our lives. I pray, Father, that You'd bless me to preach the Word in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that You'd open the hearts of each hearer, that we might gladly receive Your Word, that we might rejoice in Thee, that we might praise Thee better in days to come. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, the 37th division. And I want to read the first five verses of this psalm. And I, as always, I encourage you at your leisure to read the entire psalm. It would, I think, be very beneficial for you. But for the sake of time, we would look this morning at only the first five verses. And Lord willing, we will center our attention especially on the fourth verse. You'll notice that this is designated a Psalm of David. And down in the 25th verse, David says that he's an old man when he writes this. He said, I've been young and now am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So David says, I'm an old man and the Lord has been faithful in all that time. And David could very well be speaking to himself in this psalm. He, of course, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, speaks to us, but it almost has the feel of David talking to himself. So we read Psalm 37, beginning at the first verse. David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." As I said, I want us to look especially at the fourth verse where David says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." You know, it is when you really stop and think about it, it's a strange thing that God's people would need to be told to delight yourself in the Lord. It is really a strange thing that we'd need to be reminded to delight ourselves in the Lord. If we truly know, first of all, ourselves and our own sinful condition, if we are aware of the result of sin in our life, if we really had any understanding of where we would be without God's grace, and then consider that God gave us His Son, how could you not delight in that? If you understand the loving, merciful God, if you understand that Jesus loved you so much that He would die for you, how could you not delight in that? Well, I'm going to tell you, if we're afflicted by a fallen human nature. Now, we've been given a new nature, praise God for that, but so far He's not taken away that old nature, and we still have that old natural man. I want to call your attention to the fact that there's a progression here. David didn't begin this psalm by simply saying, "Delight in the Lord." There's some things that we need to do prior to that. Because of this old human nature, you know, we got to change some things before we can really delight in the Lord. And you know, that in one way or another, that principle is shown throughout Scripture. When Jesus, first of all, John the Baptist came preaching, and Jesus came with the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've got to change, you've got to turn to prepare yourself for this kingdom. I believe David is saying, you know, we've got to make some change. We've got to do some repenting in order to delight in the Lord. That same principle is demonstrated in the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter, this portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, I want to read the first 13 verses. And notice the times that Jesus said, don't be this way, but be that way. You know, there's a tendency. We might not be like the hypocrites that Jesus described here, but I'm going to tell you, in this old human nature, there's a tendency to that. So Jesus is going to say, put off that old man and then put on the new man. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at the first verse, he says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of men, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said, don't do that way, do it this way. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me pause and just to the side here when Jesus said, enter into your closet, close the door. He's not talking about a closet like we know today where you hang up your clothes or whatever. It just means a closed, an enclosed place, a private place, a secret place. Go where you can shut off the rest of the world. And that's where, in our generation, I think we fail so many times. There's so much around us. We have all these electronic devices and all those things. It's hard to find a closet, a closed place where we can just be alone with the Lord. But we need to be seeking that. Verse 7, he says, but when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I read that. I read Jesus' prayer especially so that we'd be reminded of the manner in which we are to pray. But I wanted to show you that always in Scripture there's the be not that way, but be this way. And that's what David is saying. There's a progression here. There's some things that we need to not do. There's some things that we need to change. We need to some repentance. And then there's some things that we need to do in order to really delight in the Lord our God. Now, let's go back to the Psalm 37. In the first verse, David said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Two things that are closely related. Fret not because of evildoers. And that word fret, it literally means to get heated up. Don't get all heated up because of the workers of iniquity. Well, I get heated up when I see all the sins, all the ungodliness in our world today. And we should be concerned, we should be disturbed by all that, but we don't need to let those things overcome us. We don't need to let those things discourage us. And we don't need to let those things hinder our service to God and our delight in God. You know, so many times I have said, and probably you have said, how can the Lord allow such to go on? Well, that's kind of getting heated up. And that's failure to trust in the Lord. I don't know how. And if I needed to know how He could let all that go on, He'd tell me. I don't need to know. I need to trust Him and know that He will, in His time, deal with it. And David said, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We can look around in our world and we see all kind of godly people that seem to be prospering. They seem to be wealthy. They seem to have everything you could want. And it's very easy to say, I wish I had what he's got. And that indicates a love of the world that we don't need to have. Another psalmist, psalmist Asaph, dealt with a similar feeling, I think, in the 73rd Psalm. I'm going to read some selected verses of Psalm 73. Verses 1 through 5. Psalm 73, beginning at verse 1. Notice he says, truly God is good to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. He could look around and see how God had blessed Israel. But notice verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost stumbled. I almost fell. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I think his attitude here, I'm suffering. I'm working hard and I can't get ahead. Everything seems to go against me. I know God's good to people out there, but me, I'm not enjoying that goodness. There's a lot of wicked men that live far better than we. Verse 4, he says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. It looks like they're healthy, wealthy, and wise. And he said, that troubled me. Look at verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. So, Asaph says, it looks like everything I've done has been in vain. I'm trying to serve the Lord, and I suffer because of it. And that's a bad feeling to have. I try to do right, and it seems like everything just comes down on my own head. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolations as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. It looks like everything's going well for them. But in the sanctuary of the Lord, when I went into the place of worship, God opened my understanding and I saw what the end of those ungodly people were going to be. Now, I understand that there are people who are living ungodly lives that may very well be children of God that have not been converted, have not known repentance, all those other things. I don't know about that. But those who are truly ungodly, the best they ever have is going to be right here. And when this life is over, it's woe and misery, eternal suffering. And I can take a little suffering here to know that I don't have to see that kind of eternal suffering. I can take a little suffering here to know that something better is awaiting me. So, as David said, I'm not going to fret because of all those evildoers. Psalm 37, verse 2, he says, "For they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." They may live 100 years upon this earth, but I've known people approaching that age and say life has been like a blink of an eye. It's gone by so quickly, and now it's just about over, and all of that's going to be gone just like the grass that withers. So David says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." When the Jews, when David, when the psalmists talk about dwelling in the land, they're talking about the land of Canaan, that land that God promised them, a land that flows with milk and honey. And he promised them as long as they would be obedient, they would live in that land, they would be showered with rain from heaven, and they would just know the blessings of God. In one place in Scripture, it's called days of heaven upon the earth. We don't have a natural land like that. We've got a spiritual land that we call the kingdom of God. And the same principles apply. As long as we're obedient to God, we're going to enjoy His blessings. And yes, we will have hardships, we will have trials and temptations, but God will be with us at every step and supply every need. Look with me in the 125th Psalm, if you would, please. David said, "Trust in the Lord." In Psalm 125, it talks about they that trust in the Lord. Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Mount Zion was that place, the city of David. It was the highest place in Jerusalem. It was fortified. It was protected. It was a safe place. And they that trust in the Lord is going to be just like that. "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever." God Himself surrounds His people. The psalmist says, from henceforth forever. He's never going to leave. We could trust Him. "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." And peace shall be upon spiritual Israel, God's people in the gospel kingdom today. So trust in the Lord. So, you see, David has said, first of all, don't fret and don't envy the ungodly. And I think really he's saying just separate yourself from the cares of this life. And don't let those things overrule you. And don't let those things rob you of your joy in the Lord. And once you've done that, then you can really begin to trust in the Lord. And when you put your trust in the Lord, then you'll delight in the Lord. And again, notice this is a positive command. David was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it is God telling us to delight in Him. And that word, delight, it means be satisfied, take pleasure in, take joy in the Lord. And first of all, it is the Lord Himself. Not in what the Lord's going to do for you, not what you expect, the blessings you expect from the Lord, but the Lord Himself. Now, surely we're to be thankful for the blessings. We're to desire God's blessings, but God's blessings are to draw us to God Himself, and there's where we take our delight. And when, if we truly delight in the Lord, we're going to delight in the things that God delights in. We'll take delight in all about Him. We'll take delight in His people. We'll take delight in His church. We'll take delight in His law. Everything about the Lord should be delightful to us. The first Psalm, Psalm 1, talks about the blessedness of a man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. A blessed man is the man that delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord, you may think about the law of Moses, Ten Commandments, all those things. But in Scripture, when it talks about the law of the Lord, it's talking about the revealed will of the Lord. All that we have in this blessed book we call the Bible. We ought to delight in God's Word. We ought to study it, and we ought to meditate on it day and night. Psalm 40. And I'll read the first 8 verses. And this particular psalm, parts of it, apply to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But this is a psalm of David, so it applies first to David, and then in a greater way to Jesus Christ. So David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And certainly that last portion applies to Jesus Christ. The law of God was in his heart, and he delighted to do that. But that was true of David. And it ought to be true of each one of us that we delight to do God's will. Now, I have told, I've stated this many times, and I continue to believe that when you find a command in Scripture, when God has commanded us to do something, there's going to be a blessing attached to it. There's going to be a reward in obedience. Now, sometimes you might have to search for it in Scripture, but not in this case. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That sounds like a blank check. If you delight in the Lord, He's just going to give you anything you want. But I'm going to tell you, when you delight in the Lord, what you want is what God would have you to have. What you will want is God's will in your life. And when you delight in the Lord, He's going to give you that. He's going to give you His will for your life. And that's a promise, a blessing that is attached to obedience. And finally, in verse 5, He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And again, another command, another blessing attached. Just commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in Him, and He'll bring to pass His will in your life. You know, sometimes, and I've mentioned before, and I continue to remind us, we're fallen creatures. We have that old Adam nature. There's things that I think I want, but I've learned that the Lord's way is always better. I've tried to go my own way and found that it doesn't work. I found that when I go the Lord's way, it's hard sometimes, but it's always the best way. There's always blessing in that, and I have to remind myself every day, trust in the Lord, and He's going to bring it to pass. He is going to bless us when we commit our way unto the Lord. As you know, I'm a student of words. The Hebrew word that is translated commit here is literally roll it over. Just roll your way over on the Lord. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Roll it all on Him. Let Him make the decisions for your life and lead you in the way that you're to go. I want to close by giving you another section of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 33. Again, Matthew chapter 6, and beginning at verse 26. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into thy barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" One of the great pleasures of my life, and we go down to the farm, and I get up early in the morning, and I sit on the front porch. I've got a rocking chair there. I read the Bible, and I have my devotion, my prayer, but I sit and drink coffee and just look out. I see the birds as they're gathering up and they're finding whatever it is they eat. Recently, there's been a bluebird. He sits right up on top of the flagpole. And he'll sit up there for a few minutes. He'll swoop down to the ground. He gets a bug or whatever. And then he goes right back to the flagpole. And he sits and waits for the next one to come along. And the Lord is providing for him and so many others of His little creatures. And Jesus said, "Are you not much better than they?" Is the Lord not going to provide for you better than He provides for them? He said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" And that taking thought means worry. Have you ever improved anything by worrying about it? "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, notice that Jesus is talking about food and raiment. And He says, before those things, before the very necessities of life, seek the kingdom of God. Stop fretting about evildoers. Stop being envious of the wicked and the proud. Stop desiring all these things that the old human nature longs for. and simply trust in the God and delight in Him, delight in His will for your life. Sister Roberta Rogers always said she believed that she was to bloom where she was planted. And she was just to make the best of the situation that God put her in. That's a pretty good philosophy of life. And if you're delighting in the Lord, you're going to bloom right where you're planted. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when we delight in Him, when we trust Him, and certainly He provides for all those things that we stand in need of. So I pray that we'll all take delight in this loving God who has so richly blessed us all the days of our life and has promised that He'll always stand beside us. Trust Him is my prayer for Christ's sake.